this be true, we can see no use of all of the labor and expense of printing Bibles, building meeting houses, and preaching the gospel to either saint or sinner. If we are of the definite number elected and foreordained to eternal life, there is no chance for us to be lost, and if not, we cannot be saved. We have often heard this doctrine preached from the pulpit when the sermon closed with an exhortation to sinners to come to the anxious seat, to seek salvation or pray for pardon of sin. What a mockery! Why tell a man that God has unalterably fixed his destiny before time began and then exhort him to flee from the wrath to come and lay hold on eternal life, as though he could either change or confirm God's eternal and immutable decree? Surely his efforts could do no good, nor could his negligence do any harm. For those of mankind that are predestinated unto life, God, before the foundation of the world was laid, according to his eternal and immutable purpose, and the secret counsel and good pleasure of his will, has chosen in Christ unto everlasting glory, out of his mere free grace and love, without any foresight of faith or good works, or perseverance in either of them, or any other thing in the creature as conditions or causes moving him thereunto. The Confession of Faith, Chapter 3, Section 5. Thus we see that faith, good works, nor any other thing can avail, for the whole matter was unalterably fixed before time began. Salvation, upon certain conditions, was the great object of preaching the gospel to every creature, and among these conditions faith occupies a conspicuous place. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Hence the necessity of preaching the gospel, teaching the word of God to every creature, that he might have the privilege of believing and obeying it. Therefore the promise, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16 and verse 16. The fact that Christ required the gospel to be preached among all nations to every creature, promising salvation to those who would believe and obey it, is evidence high as heaven that all may have salvation who will accept it upon the conditions specified. Surely God would not mock his creatures by preaching the gospel and offering salvation to them on certain conditions when he had eternally and unchangeably ordained that they should not be saved, and put it out of their power to comply with the terms offered. Nor is this all. He follows the promise of conditional salvation with the awful threat that he that believeth not shall be damned. We cannot see why anyone should be required to believe and trust in a Savior who did nothing for them, and believe and obey a gospel the provisions of which did not embrace them. Men are required to believe upon and trust in Jesus in order to salvation. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And why believe this? That believing ye might have life through his name. John 20 and verses 30 and 31. Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 3 and verse 36. Thus we see that man is denied eternal life and subjected to the abiding wrath of God, not because of any eternal decree against him personally, but because of his unbelief. Hence, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And why is he condemned already? Is it because of God's eternal decree against him? No, but because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3 and verse 18. Thus the justice of God is vindicated in the punishment of man. If he is not saved, it will not be because God eternally and unchangeably ordained his destruction, nor will it be because God willed not his salvation. Hear him most solemnly deny such an imputation. "If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Ezekiel 18, verses 21 through 23. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live. Verse 32. And again, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. This is either true or it is untrue. If God, from all eternity, fixed the destiny of all men, and ordained a definite number to life and a definite number to dishonor and wrath, and that according to the unsearchable counsel of his will, whereby he extendeth or withholdeth mercy as he pleaseth, Confession of Faith, chapter 3, section 7, then we see not how God has not pleasure in and wills not that which is according to the secret counsel and good pleasure of his own will. It requires greater skill than we possess to harmonize the Bible and the creed here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. How can this be true, if God fixed the destiny of each one in accordance with the unsearchable counsel of his will before time began? He who can may explain. Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here we learn that all men are the objects of prayer. And why? Because God wills the salvation of all men. Then if all are not saved, it will be because ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. John 5 and verse 40. Their own obdurate will is the great barrier to the salvation of men. When Jesus beheld the wickedness of the people of Jerusalem and the consequent destruction that awaited them, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Matthew 23, verse 37. Mark well the reason. Ye would not. Yes, the Son of God would gladly have saved them from the danger which threatened them, even as he would now save all who would come to God by him. Yet they would not. Neither will ye. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Not whosoever was elected from all eternity, but whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Then whoever perishes is lost, because he will not partake of that which is freely offered to him. His unending wail may be, God is just, though I am lost. Jesus said, The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse 10. Was there ever a time when the elect were lost? If so, when? The Creed tells us that they were predestinated unto life before the foundation of the world was laid. Hence, if they were ever lost, it must have been before that. Therefore, they could not have been the objects of Christ's mission, for these were lost when he came. Again he says, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mark 2:17, Luke 5:31 and 32. Were the eternally elect the sinners which Jesus came to call to repentance? Surely they were not sick enough to invoke the aid of Jesus, the great physician, for they were eternally and immutably ordained to eternal life. Hence they were not sick. At all events, they could not have been sick unto death. The Scriptures abound with testimony showing that men are not elect before conversion. A few passages of this class are all for which we have room in this work. In speaking of himself and his Ephesian brethren, Paul tells us that they were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, Ephesians 2 verse 3. If they had been elected to salvation before time began, we see not how at any time they could have been children of wrath, even as others, not of the elect. Again, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8 and verse 9. All persons know that prior to conversion the Spirit of Christ was not in them, and hence at that time they were none of his. Yet, according to the theory, they were always his. Next, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 and verse 14. Then, of course, the converse is true, that as many as are not led by the Spirit of God are not the sons of God. All unconverted persons are led by the spirit of the wicked one, and not by the Spirit of God. Therefore, no unconverted man is a son of God. It will be conceded that the elect are sons of God. Hence, when not sons of God, none are elect. Next, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Prior to conversion, Christ is in no one. Paul says, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Galatians 4 and verse 19. As Christ has to be formed in men, it follows that he was not always in them. And when he is not in them, they are reprobates. Therefore, none are elect until converted. Next, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If all the elect were in Christ before the foundation of the world, then conversion makes no man a new creature in him. For if in him at all, they were always in him. Paul says, Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Romans 16 and verse 7. If Paul and his kinsmen were in Christ before the foundation of the world, then he made a most egregious blunder here. When was it, and how is it, that they were in Christ before him? Once more, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians 5 and verse 24. Those who have not crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts are not Christ's. There was a time in the history of every man when he had not crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, and therefore a time when he was not Christ's. All the elect are Christ's. Therefore, there was a time in the life of every man when he was not of the elect. Hence, none are personally and unconditionally elected to eternal life from before the foundation of the world.